Before Bill welcomes you, hello, welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland today. It's great to see everyone here. Thank you for coming, even if this is your first time. That's great. And if you've been here for a few times, even better. Love it. I've come to make a quick announcement. Newport Festival's happening on Saturday, if you didn't know about it, which is exciting. But as a church, we're putting on a little refuge area for people to come to get some water, to get some juice, to get some sunscreen, because it's going to be really hot and it's going to be really lovely. But we need some people, especially in the afternoon, to help serve these amazing people who are attending the festival. We've got 11 spots open. If you want to serve someone, if you've got a great smell and you can pour some drinks, there's a couple of spots open for that. If you feel like you're able to serve in another way, where you're going between the tent and the kitchen, you'll be a runner. You don't have to run. Don't worry. It's okay. Just kind of taking things back and forth between the kitchen and tent. Or if you feel like you want to serve in the kitchen, where you're just washing cups and stuff like that, that would be amazing too. If you've got a spare hour, great. Or even half an hour at the end to help clear up, please come speak to me at the end of the service. So thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning. Welcome. Especially a warm welcome to any visitors we have, and a warm welcome to the folk on Zoom. Can I say, if we do have any visitors, or if there's somebody sitting near you and you don't know them, turn to them and say, are you Norwegian? Can you tell me last night's score, please? So if you want to say welcome. Just... Jesus calls us to his table, rooted firm in time and space. Here, the church on earth and heaven finds a common meeting place. We gather together and yet apart, using this time and this space, using it to meet God and allow him to meet us. Permit God to use this time and this space. Let him be the breath in our words. Let him be the reason behind our thoughts. Let him be the impulse in our worship. Allow him to teach us. Allow him to serve us. Allow him to use us. Let us worship that ever-present God. And we have as our first hymn this morning one of the great gathering psalms, all people that on earth do dwell. And in the great custom, going back to the Celtic times, was that it was a bit of unaccompanied singing. So verse 3, we will sing unaccompanied. So a big breath, give it loudly.
Yes.
the psalmist wrote, "Bless the Lord, my soul, he pardons all my wrongdoing and crowns me with love and compassion." Let us approach that compassionate God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we praise you for the privilege of walking with Christ and bearing his name, for the joy he has brought into our lives and the new sense of purpose we feel, for the meaning and direction he has given to our lives, and for the courage, peace, and faith that he gives, for the laughter and the love with which he has touched our days, and for the love that reaches out and goes on reaching out to fill us and transform our witness and worship and praise. We praise you for Jesus and the way he changes our lives. We praise you for a story of truth and grace and challenge. We praise you that your message is not simply a tale of things which happened in the distant past, but an experience of newness and renewal that we can enter through the Holy Spirit. We praise you for the moments when the Spirit has opened our eyes to the fingerprints of God in the world, opened our ears to his word from the Bible, opened our minds to hear his voice in the presence of a friend. We praise you for those times when we have known the touch of his healing, when we have been used as channels of his caring, for the knowledge that his teachings of forgiveness has taken away our burdens of guilt, of sorrow, of fear. For those times his light has illuminated our path through life and his love giving us wholeness. We praise you in the name of Christ, who taught us when we pray together to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." Good morning, troops. There are four of you here. I counted you at 2 minutes to 11. I was in a panic. I thought I was going to have to spread my fairy dust. There are four. Now I can only see three. Where's the fourth one gone? Hiding at the back. Oh, yes. Good man. Would you like to come forward? No. Never mind, would you like? Would you come forward? Good show. Oh. No, sit on the seats. I'm not there. No. Sit on the seats. Sit on the seats. I see boys and girls are safe. No. All right. Uh-huh. This is like my old primary classes. Boys on one side and girls on the other. Okay, that's your choices. Okay, spread the news. Something that I know that you don't know. My favourite story is about a wee boy called Epaminondas. Not going to read it today, it's too long. Okay, that's something that I know you don't know. Could you tell me something about yourselves that I probably don't know? Right, yes, I'm glad. It doesn't have to be secret. I mean, it doesn't, it, just anything, you know, class, teacher's name.
I like cherries.
Cherries? Yeah. Cherries. Ooh. By the bowlful, the handful, or just one or two at a time?
A handful.
A handful. Oh, okay. Right, yes.
I got bitten by a dog once.
You got bitten by a dog once. Big dog, wee dog?
Wee dog.
A wee dog. Oh, that's, well, no, I've said that's not too bad, but yes. And is the dog okay? Dog's okay.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Right.
It's gone now.
Okay. But you survived. All right. So, you like cherries? You've been bitten by a dog, but it survived. Come on now. Any other thoughts? could be about school, could be about hobbies, books, food.
I like pizza.
You like?
Pizza.
There's a theme here with the boys already, isn't there? Cherries, pizza, favourite pizza?
Margarita.
Margarita. Oh, that's posh. Right, come on then.
I have my birthday in 29th of August.
29th of August, you have a birthday. I won't ask because a gentleman never asks a lady what year you're at. Yes, 29th of August. So you've got, what, about a couple of months yet? And are you going to be really old then?
No.
Well, I'm not sure I believe that. Right. You're stuck because you're the last. You like playing it? You like Everton football team?
No, I like chocolate.
You like chocolate? Yeah. Did you notice the fact that a Liverpool supporter went, shush, I'm not answering that question. You like chocolate. Chocolate, margarita, cherries. Bitten by a dog and it's my birthday. By heavens, yes, okay, that's an interesting group. All right, you've told me things that I didn't know. That's great. Can we go on to the next slide? Who do we think that is? It's bound to be Jesus. It's the rain church, and it's bound to be Jesus. Yeah, okay. What do you think he's doing? Any guesses? He's standing. He's got his hands out. And I'm not sure that's a cricket kind of, no. And there's people in front of him, so let's have a stab at what he might be doing. Any thoughts? Wild, random thoughts are accepted.
Is he teaching people?
Brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant answer. Is he teaching people? Yes. Could he be doing anything else to think? Anything? No. I'm sticking with this one. I like the answer. We'll go with that. Teaching people. What's he teaching them about, do you think? Oh, right. I'm coming back to you. You're in reserve. God? Okay. Are we going to stick with God? Are we going for anything else? No, we better not. It's just, okay, teaching people about God. Is that a good idea, teaching people about God? Yes, you'd better say yes, of course. Yes. But Jesus, we don't see him around a lot. How are we going to tell people about God now? Can you think of things? Can we go on to the next slide? That might just give you a wee clue. You might need, can you see all the things that are up there? Yep. Well done. What's up there? I'm going to stand you right. Come on then. What can you see up there?
I can see computer. I can see apps. I can see a microphone. I can see people. I can see a phone. And I can see a daily news saying good news.
You're too good. You've given these four. You've given this. I think you've just missed out the Morse code. I'll bet you. I was going to put up semaphores, and I thought that might be just a step too far. Yeah, there's all these internet things. There's radio. There's a group of people. What was that one? Did you see up on the phone? There's newspapers. Is that Twitter or something? Oh, that's the internet, the one the emails, TV, writing. Yes, writing. Oh, the good old-fashioned, you know that kind of thing you do in the class and no place else. It's writing. Megaphone and Morse code. Okay, how do you think you could tell people about God? There's one clue up there. Well, there's a lot of clues, but there's one particular that might be useful. What's above the word the? No, you're not getting to answer this one here.
Talking to people.
Talking to people. Talking to people about God. That's the word for today. Is the best people who can teach others about God is or are?
Children.
For you, yeah, children. You are. You are. You are the ones that can spread the message, tell other people about God. Because a lot of people out there in classes, in the school, and out at the football, at the pizza shop, and in Orchard, I don't know if the dogs do much, but that's okay. And lots of birthdays. Tell people about God. It's up to you. Okay? Right, we'll just say a wee prayer, and then we'll carry on. Father God, we give you thanks that we know your love and we know your message. Give us the strength to go out and teach and tell other people about God, about yourself, about Jesus. This we ask in your name's sake. Amen. Right, our next hymn is hymn 522, The Church is Wherever God's People Are Praising, 522.
Of God. Our first reading this morning is taken from Psalm 118, reading from verses 19 to 29. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 9, reading from verse 35 through to chapter 10, finishing at verse 8. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. And may God add his blessings on these readings from his holy word. We will now continue with our worship by singing hymn 533, "Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name."
Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my
Let's pray. Without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. On Monday this week, Margaret and I were in my favourite shop. You may know which one already, but I'm not going to advertise it or give you a clue because, as they say, every little helps. Margaret has a list, and I think probably just to get me out of her hair, she sends me for various things. And so I found myself on Monday in the canned vegetable oils, the aisle, staring vacantly and thinking, why am I here? What was I sent for? Why am I here? What was I sent for? Well, should anyone have any doubts about what Jesus was doing in the world or why he was sent, there is no clearer picture than that which is drawn in Matthew 9 at verse 35. Jesus went through the towns and villages preaching, teaching, and healing. God had sent Jesus on a mission. Jesus had been sent to proclaim God's love for the world. Now, all preaching must have that at its core. God's love is a sure and steadfast love. It is unchanging and eternal. Jesus was very clear about that. Anyone who finds themselves called to preach the word must be convinced and convincing. But there's a wee bit more to it than that. Those who listen must be convinced and convincing about God's love. For the first time in many years, probably centuries, we cannot just assume that folk in our communities know that there is a God who loves and cares for them. As church members, individually and collectively, we must have a clear vision and a commitment to proclaim that vision. A few years ago, Margaret was stuck for an idea for a present for my birthday. Of all people, she sought out Stan Brook for help and guidance. And the result was a book, Systematic Theology by Louis Berkhof. It's one of these books where I pretty much well understand almost all of the words in it. It's just when they put them into sentences and paragraphs that I lose the will to live. Our great consolation is that Jesus didn't preach dense theology. He preached about God and he preached about people. Jesus used what was around him. He spoke about everyday things and he made them special. God is my guide in all that happens. Now it's our joy and an enduring strength to be able to claim that. But Jesus took it further. Jesus was also a teacher. It is not enough just to accept the certainties of God's message. We must be able to demonstrate its vital importance for our generation, to show that it is relevant to life and living in the here and now. That's how we measure teaching, when we can see a real change in the life of others. That is the challenge that Jesus gives us, to teach people about God. Not just by telling people about Jesus, but by living our lives, living in such a way that the great message of Jesus is obvious to everyone who knows us. In his book, The Meaning of Prayer, H.D. Fosdick wrote this: we are wrong when we call our public worship on a Sunday the church service. Church service really begins on a Monday morning and lasts all week. Church service is helpfulness to other people. Public worship is a preparation for that. For the church, service is a life of ministry amongst the dust and the din of daily business. The inevitable expression of real Christianity is a life of sacrificial service. A preacher, a teacher, and now this takes us on to the third strand of what Jesus was doing here on earth. Jesus was a healer. He took his words and turned them into action. Check the gospel stories for yourselves. Jesus spent more time feeding the hungry, curing the sick, and comforting the sorrowing than he did preaching. He turned the words of Christian truth into acts of Christian love. At that time, the religion of the day demanded sacrifice. It demanded obedience. Jesus showed us that the core of religion is love. In the gospel reading this morning, we heard that when Jesus saw the crowds harassed and helpless, he felt compassion for them. The Greek word which is used for compassion indicates an intensely deep feeling, an emotion which reaches right into the very core of our being. In the gospel stories, that Greek word is used almost exclusively of Jesus. It is an example and a standard that we are asked to follow. Jesus was moved to compassion by pain. Why did God allow this to happen? This week alone, we have witnessed at least a couple of real heartbreaking tragedies. And by the way, I'm not referring to you-know-who. Why did God allow this to happen? It's a question we hear often enough. In all honesty, there is no easy answer. And frankly, there are some that are trotted out that are just so wrong on every level. But one thing of which we can be very sure, Jesus will be by our side, suffering with us and longing to take our pain. In Matthew 14, verse 14, he heals the sick. Matthew 20, verse 34, he gives sight to the blind. In Mark 9, verse 25, he casts out demons from a young boy. There are many, many, many other instances of compassion. When we suffer, Jesus suffers. When we feel pain, Jesus longs to ease our pain. Jesus was moved to compassion by hunger. Matthew 15, verse 32, Jesus looks out on the vast crowd who are hungry and far from home. He blesses the loaves and the fishes, and the disciples distribute the food. As Christians, we can never rest easily when there is hunger in the world. There are more than enough resources to go around. The fact of people suffering from hunger, either in this country or abroad, cannot be ignored, cannot be just passed by on the other side. It is our duty and our joy to see Jesus' example of feeding the hungry is followed. It was at the core of Jesus, and it should be at our core too. Jesus was moved to compassion by loneliness, Mark 1, verse 41. It was the custom that anyone suffering from leprosy was thrown out of the town in which they lived. Abandoned by society, they were forced to live a life of solitary wandering, wandering the highways and the byways. It was such a rejected and lonely man that felt the power of Jesus' compassion. Loneliness is one of the most common problems in modern society, particularly but far from exclusively among the elderly. I am very conscious of the great warmth and the true friendliness in almost every church. It's a genuinely wonderful thing, and I think we should take a little gentle pleasure in that. However, may also be worth taking a moment to consider just how effectively we touch those who are on their own in our community. Jesus showed compassion for the lonely. Jesus was moved to compassion by sorrow. In Luke 7, we read the story of the widow in the town of Nain. Her son's coffin was being carried out the town gate with his mother in great distress. Jesus recognized her pain and her grief and was filled with compassion for her sorrow. Jesus was able to help. James S. Stewart, in his book, A Faith to Proclaim, wrote the following. Man's main concern with the dark fact of suffering is not to find an explanation. It is to find a victory. It is not to elaborate a theory. It is to lay hold on a power. Even if you could say, there is the final and full explanation of the problem of pain, that would not be enough. For the pain itself would still have to be borne. That, in the last resort, is the real demand of the human spirit. Not the explaining of suffering, but the grace and the help to bear it. And that is why God sent us Christ. Jesus is here to help with our sorrow. Jesus showed his compassion for the helpless, Matthew 9, verse 36. He says they're like sheep without a shepherd. On his journeys around the towns and villages of Palestine, time and again, Jesus found people longing to hear the loving word of God. And the men who should have been offering them guidance, strength, and comfort, the scribes and the Pharisees, had nothing to give. On the one hand, they were caught up in endless discussions about the exact meaning of the letter of the law, and on the other hand, how they could maintain their position in society. The Greek words used to describe the harassment and the helplessness of ordinary people are vivid indeed. Mangled, flayed, wearied, dejected. Jesus is there to encourage, to lift up, to comfort. It is that Jesus that we must preach to the world. The Jesus who showed his compassion for the harassed and the helpless. The church of Jesus is in the world to preach, to heal, and to teach. We must preach the great truth of God's love. We must teach others the example of Christian living in our own lives. And we must support, comfort, and love those who sorrow, those who are hungry, those who are lonely, those who are helpless. Jesus called on his disciples and gave them his authority. That authority and command is still in place today. It is our duty and our joy to hear and obey. Amen. We continue our worship by singing hymn 500, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise.
Oh,
we come to our prayers of dedication and then a prayer of intercession. Let us pray. Lord, the world is waiting for you and your church. Lord, the world is waiting for your great word. Lord, the world is waiting to be freed from despair and brokenness. Lord, the world is waiting for the poor to be enriched, the hungry fed, the sad comforted, and the oppressed set free. To this end, Lord, teach us to be poor with Christ, hungry and sorrowful and angry with him, and to endure with him so that others may be glorified in us. Bless all that we do and are and give in your name, as in Jesus, now and forever we pray. Amen. We come to our prayers for intercession, prayers for ourselves and others. I have a response, as usual, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, if you feel comfortable, the response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father, we pray for those who teach others, for all involved in all aspects of education, for those who teach in nursery and primary and secondary schools, for those in colleges and universities, for those on work programs. May they have the wisdom and integrity and commitment to share all that is good and right and true. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are being taught, for children and young people, for all those preparing to take the next step, whether at the beginning or the end of their education, or still working their way through each year. May that they discover that learning is so much more than just learning stuff, and life is bigger than all they have been given. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those whose words and actions influence others. We pray for all those in the media, whether broadcast through television, newspaper, radio, or through the internet. For writers, music makers and entertainers, for sportsmen and sportswomen, for all those whose lifestyles have become role models for others, may they be aware of the responsibility that is placed on their shoulders. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those whose deeds and words affect other people, for leaders of nations, of industry, of trade unions, for all members of the parliaments in Edinburgh and London, for our local councillors in Glenrothes. Lord, we pray that you will keep them aware of the impact their decisions and actions have for the people to whom and for whom they are responsible. Responsible not just for now, but for generations to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for all those who preach your word, for all those who have pastoral responsibility in this church and community, for members of your church all over the world, for families and friends and neighbours and colleagues. Keep them aware of the potential and the unique qualities of every person they meet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for ourselves. Touch our words and our deeds. Change our thoughts and our attitudes. Transform our values and our intentions. May the way we respond to others and to all the challenge of life bring you praise and glory and draw others to Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These prayers we offer in the strong but gentle name of Jesus. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is hymn 543, hymn 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. Our service here is ended, and we journey out into the world. As you do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be with us and those whom we love, now and forever.